fly by with that.
Good morning.
That's a little second.
The Burgi family, the missionaries that we know, are finally made it all here to the U.S. They got together last night. I want to thank you for praying for that. Means a lot. There are 8 kids. And in fact, they came 2 days ago. They got on the plane. Fly out. They got out about an hour and a half. The man sitting next to Brent had a heart attack. And they had to turn the plane around, take him back. And they were able to save his life. Thank the Lord for that. But pray for that family. Book of Micah. The book of Micah. Micah was contemporary of Isaiah's. Micah prophesied from about 763 BC to 695, about 40 years. He was in Israel when Sennacherib attacked and plundered the city of Jerusalem. And he prophesied in this little book that Israel would be punished, that Judah would be punished for their unwillingness to follow God, for their falling into sin, and some of the sins that they were committing at the end stages of their running from God were horrendous. Offering their own children to Moloch, burning them in the fire. Can you imagine God's people doing that? Well, they had fallen so far, the judgment had to come. Of course, Israel went into Assyrian hands, and Judah went into Babylonian captivity. And in this little book, Micah covers all of that. And there's a promise in the book from God through Micah that they would eventually be delivered and be able to be taken into the kingdom of God, the millennial reign, which is a wonderful thing to know. Now, as we get toward the last chapter of Micah, Micah makes some incredible statements. Now again, he wrote this prophecy to really focus on the forbearance of God. They would rebel, the nation would fall into sin. God would judge, they would make it right. It was called the sin cycle, and it just continued. You'll find it dramatically described in the book of Judges. But it was one thing after another. They'd get right, they'd fall, they'd run from God, they'd live in sin, God would have to judge them. And so he wrote this book explaining to Israel Judah, and over and over and over and over and over again, God responded in forbearance. God responded in forgiveness. No wonder Michael wrote what he wrote in this book. And so I want to call your attention to the 18th and 19th verses of the book of Micah, chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. Last week we preached on grace. Grace is God giving what we don't deserve. Amen. This morning I'm going to preach on mercy. Mercy is God withholding judgment because we do deserve it. Now listen very carefully to me. The New Testament has a great deal to say about mercy. There's lots in the New Testament about mercy. But the Old Testament has 10 times as much information about mercy than the New Testament. There's more in the Old Testament by far about God dealing in mercy than there is in the New Testament. I know we always think of God as a judicial God. The Old Testament is God's judgment. But in essence, God dealt in mercy. He did have to judge. He did have to bring his people back. But God always responded in mercy. In the 18th verse of chapter 7, this incredible question is asked by the prophet. Let me read it to you. He says, who? He just written 6 chapters. Explain what God had to do, explain where they were, explain where they ran to, explain that they were going to go into captivity, and that God would eventually deliver them. And he comes to verse 18, he says, who is a God like unto thee? I think that's one of the greatest questions in all of the Bible. Who is a God like unto thee? When this question is asked, its answer is a declaration of God's unfailing love for Israel, his compassion toward Israel, his loving kindness toward Israel. It is a demonstration of mercy. In our text, we have described for us God's multifaceted attribute of mercy, and it is an attribute. And it's a powerful attribute. So notice with me just 2 or 3 things about this passage with reference to mercy. I think you're going to enjoy this. Number one, look at mercy's benefactor. We just read about it, didn't we? Who is a God like unto thee? What explanation can fully answer that question? Someone came to you and said, what's your God like? What would you tell him? Who is a God like unto thee? What explanation fully answer that question? Who is a God like unto thee? Maybe this. There are none. All those false gods, all the people that raise themselves up as God, are not God at all. God is not, think with me, God is not like anything else or anybody else. God is not like anything else or anybody else. So he cannot be explained or compared. You can't compare it because he's unique. He is God and God alone. His being is unique. Without beginning or end. His attributes are unique. His existence is unique. He exists, listen to me, in and of himself. His wisdom is unique. His abilities are unique. You got it yet? His coming is unique. His going is unique. His doings are unique. There's nobody like him. In the words of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2, I like it when she said, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. I love that. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and listen very carefully. All of these three attributes reach down and touch the garment of mercy, so that his mercy moves out of the attribute of omniscience. His mercy moves in the attribute of omnipotence. His mercy is displayed in the attribute of omnipresence. Mercy. He is unsearchable. He is incomprehensible. He is immutable. He is infinite. And it is he who chose, listen very carefully, to interact with his creature. He who made a way for us. He who clears man's debt. He who is the great benefactor. He is the one who brings mercy. No wonder Micah said, who is a God like unto thee? God reached out out of his heaven and provided a way for Christ to come, shed his precious blood on the cross, and pay our sin debt. Didn't have to. Would have been perfectly justified not to, but he did it. He offered you pardon from sin that you committed, that condemned you and laid them on Christ. The greatest picture of mercy is he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Mercy. You want a picture of God who is God, who is great, the great God, who is not like unto this God? Mercy. You study those ancient civilizations, you'll find all those gods were corrupt. It was a terrible price to pay. When we were in Peru, we didn't get to go to Machu Picchu, but we went to a couple other places. And Machu Picchu was a big place in the mountains of the Inca civilization. And they, every day, chose a young woman. I'm talking sometimes 10, 11, 12 years old. Brought her to the top pinnacle of Machu Picchu and cut her heart out. In honor of the god of the Incas. And that can be recorded time after time after time after time. That's not our God. God sent Jesus to the cross. And that broken-hearted Christ shed his blood to pay our sins. is a God like a disease. We have quite a bit of that. Secondly, notice mercy's character. In verse 18, it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth. Because he delighteth in mercy. Mercy's character. Joseph Addison wrote, when all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Let me read that again. That poem should sink in. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Verse's character number one is displayed in its part. It says, pardon. Right down the text. Who's a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity. The word iniquity is the word that we get our thought of corruption, of the corruptness of sin, of the moral decay of man. Iniquity. In part, God dismisses the guilty. When you stood before God, before you ever went to Christ, you were guilty as you could be. And you went to Christ and found grace. And God said, and in doing so, he dismissed your guilt and put it on Christ. No one pardons like God. No one pardons as much as God. No one pardons as many as God. No one pardons at such a great cost as God. He pardons iniquity, the moral corruption of man. That's mercy. There are six thoughts about pardon. Number one, no one pardons, listen to me, with such power as God. Do you realize what it takes to dismiss your sin debt and give you grace and free you to become a child of God's? What power? No one pardons with such power as God. Number two, no one pardons at such a price to himself as God. It cost God his son. It cost Christ his lifeblood. Number three, no one pardons with such a good effect as God. Aren't you glad of the effect mercy has on you? No one pardons so many. Around the world, people are being pardoned by the grace and mercy of God. No one does more with his pardon than God. Think with me. His heart justifies, sanctifies, adopts, makes us heirs, and ultimately will glorify us. Pardon. Mercy's character is described in that wonderful phrase, who pardoneth your iniquities. But it also says in that same verse, not only does he pardon iniquities, but it says, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. That passeth by is a picture. It goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 12. What happened in Exodus 12? When I see the blood, God said, I will pass over you. There's no blood on the doorpost. And every first child of every individual in that country of Egypt would die. Do you get the significance of that? Christ's only son died. He was the lamb who died. So when it says it passes, he passes over, it literally has a thought of restraining judgment. He passes over the iniquity, the transgression of his people. It restrains judgment. Mercy does. Then mercy, the next phrase says, he retaineth not his anger forever. I put this down. The thought here is he seizes his own anger toward you and sends it away. It quiets anger. There had to be justice. Amen? There had to be a judgment on sin. How on earth can God judge sin and forgive the sinner? Well, he has to judge the sin in his son and take the sin from us and place it on his son and judge sin there. And in doing that, he then could free us from the penalty of sin. He can literally seize his anger toward us that had been displayed against his own son. And quiets anger. Number four. I love this. It delights God. It delights God. I can't grasp that. It's a little bit beyond my head. Mercy was not given because of some goodness in us, but God gave mercy because he delights to do so. God shows mercy to the undeserving. He delights to do so. He shows mercy freely. He delights to do so. He shows mercy continually. He delights to do so. In fact, as the Bible says, his mercies are new every day. All God's people say. Have you thought about this? God shows mercy before you ask. He knows what you need before you know what you need. So there's one last thing. There is a response for mercy. Look at verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. Now we'll cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We sang that today. That thought we sang. Verse's response. He will turn again. And this is active. It's a continuous thought. He will turn again and again and again and again. The Bible says in Habakkuk about God in wrath he remembers mercy. It's given often. Number two, it's always given with compassion. He will have compassion, this verse says. The Bible tells us that God is full of compassion and plenteous in mercy. It conquers our weaknesses. Gives us strength in the struggles of life. Gives us courage and faith in the trials of life. And it gives us forgiveness in the failures of life, and we all fail. We all fail. Mercy's response. But here's the greatest response. That God will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. All God's people said. The thought is a place so deep they haven't sounded it. It's too deep to measure. They can't find the bottom. He casted our sin into the depths, that word. The bottoms. Well, if he did that, he remembers them no more. If he did that, his forgiveness is complete. There's no running back to check and see if you're doing better. No. When he forgives you, he forgets it. I love that. It says, I'll remember your sins no more. That's mercy. This little book has given us one of the most explosive pictures of mercy in the Bible. It is a powerful doctrine that declares who God is, what God can do, and how he does it. And it's all wrapped up in that little word. Mercy. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy. How gracious is God to be merciful. I know what I've done. I know how bad I am. I don't know what I'd do without God's mercy. I just don't know. Sometimes I almost have to pinch myself to think that, what's the songwriter said? My past with its sin and shame, my sin and despair, Jesus took on it there, and Calvary covered it. He takes care of it through his grace and his mercy. God help us to be thankful for your mercy, your tender mercy, your compassionate mercy, your long suffering, your gentleness, your forgiveness. Salvation for your son. Mercy. In Jesus' name.